You're listening to Health Savvy You, where understanding health starts with you. I'm Dr. Navjot Butter, a dental surgeon, health communication epidemiologist, and your friend on the journey to better health literacy. In every episode, I break down complex health info, teach you how to spot fake health tips, and share practical tools to help you think clearly, ask smarter questions, and make confident health choices. Keep listening, because becoming healthier shouldn't feel out of reach. It should feel empowering.
Hey, my health savvy folks, welcome back. Today's episode is special. Can you imagine that we are at the end of our first module, which was all about health misinformation? And today we wrap it up, making sure we master the skill to spot misinformation by the end of this episode and with a real-time example. But first, a quick recap. Over the last 5 episodes, we have slowly uncovered one unshakable truth. We are all swimming in a sea of health misinformation, often without even knowing it. We started by drawing the line between misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. And we began to appreciate that this matter of fake news negatively affects our health, our body, our money, and our choices. When we defined misinformation, we explained that it's inaccurate information shared without the intent to deceive, while disinformation is shared with malicious intent. Malinformation is even more insidious, as it stems from truth but is twisted to harm. All of these have roots going back centuries. Remember the Spanish flu of 1918? And they have exploded in scale during COVID-19. That brings our era's term, infodemic, a deluge of health information so overwhelming it can do real harm. People spend thousands on useless supplements, delayed cure because of wild claims, or made dangerous decisions based on something they saw on TikTok. While it may seem abstract, the infodemic and health misinformation is deeply personal and urgent. We also learned that health misinformation isn't just bad information, it can hurt our health. It's also a financial drain. People waste time and money chasing faulty miracle cures. It's a trust drain too, making it harder to believe legitimate experts or follow real health advice. The cost is paying real doctors instead of Instagram influencers, and that can mean the difference between life and death. Bottom line, understanding what health misinformation is and why it matters isn't optional today. It's essential. It's the foundation for everything that follows. But knowing what it is doesn't automatically make us immune. That's why we dove into the neuroscience and psychology of misinformation. Why our brains, smart, learned, and powerful as they are still vulnerable. We talked about confirmation bias, when our minds act like curators, favoring information that reinforces what we already believe. We learned that the part of our brain that's tied to identity and emotion, our limbic system, can override rational thought. And let's not forget cognitive ease. If something is easy to read and feels familiar, we are more likely to believe it, even if it's false. Social proof plays its part too. If everyone else is sharing it, liking it, we believe it must be true. Add cognitive load to the picture. When we are tired, stressed, or overwhelmed, we don't have the bandwidth to think critically or fact-check. Think of what happens during those late-night scrolling. We rely on heuristics, mental shortcuts that get us through the day fast but can also lead us astray. Altogether, these psychological shortcuts create a nearly perfect storm. We are wired to believe, repeat, and share with hardly any effort or second. Next, our examination of why misinformation spreads led us to the idea of social misinfluence. Not just bad content, but bad influence of our circles despite best of intentions. In our social bubbles, on social media, among friends and family, we often trust people more than experts or institutions. Our echo chambers amplify and repeat information until it sounds like truth. We studied how influencers, those who are relatable, personal, and charismatic, can appear more credible than experts with credentials. You might trust someone on TikTok who feels like a friend more than you trust a medical paper behind a paywall. Online peer influence matters too. When your friends like or share health posts, the algorithm tells you it's important. And your impulse becomes better click, better share. Don't be the only one who doesn't. Because in that moment, standing out feels risky. As social creatures, belonging matters more to us than logic. We saw that misinformation thrives in networks even more than on web pages. It's the connections, the likes, the comments that bring it to life. Our next big question was, when we need to find truth, who is trustworthy? We contrasted the shine of influencers with the substance of real experts. We learned that credentials matter. Years of medical training, peer-reviewed research, and institutional affiliation are essentials and not just extras. But we also saw that academic experts often speak in jargon or hide behind paywalls and dull presentations. Meanwhile, influencers speak our language. They package advice as easy-to-digest stories, but without context or evidence, that's dangerous. We highlighted key criteria to tell the difference. Do they cite published studies or rely on anecdotes? Do they include conflict of interest like hidden sponsorships? Are they transparent about uncertainty and limitations of the research? Is their communication balanced, not alarmist, and raising our emotions? Ultimately, real experts aren't infallible, but you can test their credibility. Look for peer-reviewed sources. See if independent providers or institutions back up their claims. And if an influencer is promoting a supplement as a cure-all, ask whether they have disclosed that they are getting paid for it. We emphasized that reliable health advice often comes in three forms. One, existing vetted sources like CDC, WHO, or established journals. Two, subject matter experts with transparent credentials. And three, secondary communicators like science journalists, those who do the homework, cite evidence, and translate it clearly. Which brings us to our latest and most futuristic episode about trusting AI with our health information. We trained our skepticism on machine-generated health advice. We recognized AI chatbots can be useful. They provide quick explanations, surface studies, and sometimes suggest avenues worth discussing with your doctor. But they come with serious risks, such as hallucinations, those confident-sounding nonsense, or mistaking applicability of health information as treatments or solutions, or lacking personalization and context, or their inability to disclose sources or why they gave an answer. We emphasized that while AI can be a starting point, it should never be a substitute for human judgment. Even when AI is right, it must still be checked, just like any other source. Always ask, where did this claim come from? Is this claim peer-reviewed? Is there peer-reviewed counter-evidence? Is this relevant to my age, health condition, medications? We underscored a good attitude for using AI in health. Treat it like a first draft, not final answer. Assume it's wrong until proven otherwise. Triangulate, consult multiple experts, official guidance, or your healthcare provider. So now we pull it all together. Here's the bigger picture. First, know thy enemy. Is it misinformation, disinformation, malinformation, or infodemic? Second, understand your mind, the biases, the emotional triggers, and mental shortcuts. Third, watch your circles, where and with whom you consume, share, and trust health information. Fourth, vet your experts in credentials, evidence, and transparency. And fifth, use AI discerningly. Great for surfacing info, but never finalize care based on it. Don't treat these five as separate lessons. They are a form of circular defense strategy you can use whenever you encounter health information. At the end of this episode, we are going to walk this strategy out loud. I'll share real Instagram posts and we'll go step by step through a live fact check together session, from claim to source to evidence to context. You'll see how to apply each of the five pillars in real time. And by the end of this episode, you'll have a practical skill set independent of me, this podcast, or any algorithm. You'll be able to do this yourself. This sounds like a lot, I know. And you might be wondering, am I really doing all that every time? Here's the reframing we need. We are not expected to be perfect. We are not retraining our brain overnight. Let's say we are becoming a health detective in everyday life, armed with the right questions, the right toolkit, and a growing habit to pause before we share, to ask where the evidence came from, to check out whose voice is really behind a claim, and to pause when our heart says, is this emotion telling me what to believe? And to check, would I feel differently if someone else shared this with me? It is not about perfection. It's about practice. And why do all this? Because learning to spot health misinformation is about avoiding bad health advice. But it is also about building a healthier civic environment and equitable care. Misinformation often disproportionately impacts communities that already face health disparities. By building our fluency in health information, we are helping our loved ones navigate real medical decisions. We are raising the bar in our community about what counts as reliable health advice. We are pushing influencers and platforms to prioritize accuracy and showing up for the parts of healthcare that are life or death. We are not just saving ourselves from misinformation, we are helping the collective ecosystem shift towards the truth. So let's get to the most interesting part of today's episode, our personal test, an interactive, insightful journey evaluating a real post using the framework we have put together. Let's go. So what's the claim we will be dealing with? Since we met last time, 2 weeks ago, there is a claim I have seen circulating my social media accounts a little too much. The post asserts, caffeine might do more than just wake you up. It can slow aging. And in its captions, it comes with a new study reported as source of this information. So using our framework, I know that my brain was playing tricks on me. At first glance, this sounds promising and tempting. Like, who wouldn't want a simple cup of coffee to slow down aging? And on top of it, I saw multiple posts making the same claim over different social media accounts. Even my family had seen similar posts, and when I heard the same thing from them, a part of me was tempted to believe. So, should I start drinking coffee to look and stay younger? Wait, we are health-savvy people and we know better. Before we believe and share this, we know there are quick steps to take. Like I said, when you read caption, there is a legit research paper reported as source of this claim. The caption attributes the findings to researchers from Queen Mary University of London and the Francis Crick Institute. Feels so legit, right? And I'm talking about the claim in the post, not the study. We will discuss the study later. First, what are the red flags to look out for in this post? First red flag. While the caption mentions the study, the direct link to it is missing. Why? Because people who want to spread incorrect information know that we scroll social media when we are tired from rest of our day's activities, when our brain is lazy. We are not going to leave the social media and search for actual study. By not posting the link, they make the work to verify the claim harder, meaning people are not going to flag this. Second red flag. Not only there is no link to the study, the caption doesn't provide any summary of the study either. Who was the study done upon? Where and when was it done? How many humans were part of this study? What were the exact findings? What were the limitations of the study? Nada. Nothing is mentioned. Just that a study shows something. Third red flag. Yes, you say that caffeine is anti-aging, but how much caffeine in a day? Does the dose vary by weight or gender? When should we have it? Can I have it in my coffee or in my chocolate or as a supplement? But there is no information. I'm pretty sure that if scientific community will have evidence that caffeine is anti-aging for humans, they will be specific about these things. Fourth red flag, the language of these posts. Caffeine is anti-aging. Tugs at your emotions in two ways. One, very definitive use of language. No doubts in the text. No, caffeine may slow aging. No, caffeine could slow aging. And we know as health savvy people that confidence in tone means information is going to stick in our brains longer unless we actively introduce doubt. And second, Who doesn't want to look and stay young? The post presses on a pain point we all have and provides such a yummy solution to it. There is excitement and hope, and now our brain so wants this to be true, but it is not. Fifth red flag. Look at the accounts that made these posts. None of them were accounts of experts with real medical or health-related credentials. And none of the people or institutions with credentials have posted this claim on their social media accounts. And as health-savvy people, we follow experts, not just random influencers with thousands of followers. These five red flags should be enough for us to know that there is no truth to this statement. But let's say you're a bit more curious and want to be sure that this post is in fact misinformation. We get to the second step. We use our AI chatbot to clarify what this is. I did this for you. And here is how I posted my question. Because remember, how we ask questions matters when we talk to AI chatbots. My input or question was, I recently saw many posts on social media claiming caffeine is anti-aging or slows aging. They mention a study done by researchers at Queen Mary University of London and the Francis Crick Institute. Tell me what the scientific evidence is about this claim. ChatGPT came with a very long answer, so I am only going to read the final conclusion it gave me. Is caffeine truly anti-aging? This is what it said. Not definitively. There is no confirmed causal evidence that caffeine slows aging in humans. Moderate caffeinated coffee, not other sources of caffeine, is consistently associated with favorable aging outcomes, but this may reflect other compounds in coffee, like antioxidants or polyphenols. Caffeine alone, especially in high doses from non-coffee sources, doesn't reliably show anti-aging effects and could even correlate with accelerated cellular aging. So while the findings of the study are mechanistically interesting, they're preclinical. Human effects remain speculative. Great answer from ChatGPT, but too much jargon that I don't understand. So I gave it another prompt. I said, could you give me a short answer like I'm a fifth grader? And this is what ChatGPT said. Some scientists study how caffeine works in tiny cells like yeast and found it might help the cells stay young longer. But that doesn't mean it works the same in people. Other studies show that drinking coffee, not just caffeine, might help people stay healthier as they get older. So coffee might help a little, which could be due to other things in coffee, but we don't know for sure if caffeine by itself slows aging in humans. But let's take this a step further, because why believe ChatGPT and Google the study itself? I did that. The study was actually done and is not made up. The institutions where the study was done, these are reputable institutions, and the study was published after peer review in reputable journal. A good study. Like many of you, I'm not an expert in microbiology and can't comment on how rigorous the methodology was, but reading through the paper, the results of the study are letter. So what did the study find? The study found that caffeine activates AMPK, a cellular enzyme involved in energy regulation, DNA repair, and stress response. This activation can influence cellular processes linked to aging, but this is what caught my eye. Even if we don't understand fully what this means, I was able to know that the study was done on yeast in a lab. And we do know that humans and yeast are not the same thing. Lab settings and real world, not exactly the same thing either. Therefore, while the findings are intriguing and promising, they don't establish that caffeine has the same effects in humans. There is no definitive evidence from human studies that caffeine slows aging. The effects observed in yeast cells may never be seen in human cells due to differences in our biology. Look how easy it was to see a post on social media and quickly go through our checklist to see if the claim in that post is helpful for our health or not. You might say, but Navjot, I don't need to fact check every post I see on social media. I don't even act on all of them. Right. Dr. Friend of mine responded in the same way some time ago when they reposted a podcast that claimed green tea prevents cancer. And when I reached out to them saying, this is misinformation, they told me that they don't think too much about these things. They just like to see what's out there. But here's how it was so harmful. One, they are a doctor and their reposting health-related information has more impact. If they repost incorrect information, it's going to negatively impact someone's life. Some of their social media friends are going to trip over because whether they know it or not, their subconscious brain tells them to trust them and their information more. And this way, misinformation not only spreads, but also sticks. Two, you cannot feed your brain garbage anytime. If you do, no matter how much cleaning you do later, the stench of that trash will always remain. Be very careful what goes in. That random scrolling in the night may lead to some sticky beliefs that could harm your health in the long run. It could also harm the health of your parents, your kids, and your friends. It will also retrain your social media algorithms such that you see more health misinformation and stay trapped in your echo chambers. But actively training your brain to sift through information, taking in information consciously rather than subconsciously, that's what health savvy people do. And this is how, in a very small way, you can make a very big change to stay healthier and make the world healthier in the process too. Remember, trends come and go, but solid, well-verified health advice stands the test of time. My hope is that by now, you will remember the 5 red flags to look for whenever you see health information posted on your social media. Staying alert about health information for now is the only way to stay healthy. This was all I had for the health misinformation module. A month from now, I will be back with our second module on how health science and research works, so that you can understand whether or not you can do your own research and whether those influencers are using the research in the right way or not. Can't wait to see you again. Until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.
Thank you for tuning into Health Savvy You. I hope today's episode brought you one step closer to feeling confident, curious, and in control of your health. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone you care about. Keep learning and remember, health literacy is for everyone, including you. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I have got more great conversations coming your way. See you next time, and until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.